3, 2, 1. Welcome everybody to Lais and the Coach for our final interview episode of 2022. And today on the show, we have our final guest of this year, Burnell. Welcome to the show.
Hey,
hey.
She's a member of Team Forever, and she just competed at the WBFF Miami show. And this was her first competition ever. And we wanted to bring her on to the show so that we could talk to her about her journey, her experiences, and for her to share, you know, all those things that made this all happen. So let's start with question number one, which is, what made you decide to do this?
I thought about competing years ago. It was a dream of mine. And I was like, oh, one day I'm going to get on a stage. I didn't even know there were so many federations. Like, I didn't even know what WBFF was. So that was a dream of mine. And then I just forgot about it because life, you know, was lifing. And then one of my friends, Jen, love you, Jenny. She was telling me that she competed before and she was showing me all her pictures and like her progress. And she was talking to me about you guys. So that was in the back of my mind. Then once again, life happened. And then about May, June, that's when I started to think about it again. Like, I think I really want to compete. And then I reached out and then, yeah, here we are.
Here we are. Awesome. Here we are. Awesome. So when you did the show, you participated in what's one of our favorite categories, which is a transformation category. And we hadn't seen where your starting point actually was until like the day before the show. So let's talk a little bit about how you ended up getting there, what got you into fitness, and then all the twists and turns that led us to that moment.
Got you. So fitness was always a part of my life ever since I was about 16 years old when I just started, you know, dealing with a lot of like those teenage things, just trying to navigate through high school and all the things. So it's always been a part of my life. It's just that, you know, once I got to college, that's when I started experiencing the yo-yo dieting. I'm like, oh snap, like, I can't eat whatever I want and still, you know, have the same frame. So it was something I always knew I could revisit, especially if I felt like I was struggling mentally. But then I would say COVID year is definitely when I started to really blow up. I was 178 and I'm only 5'2.5". So for me, that was huge. I didn't even want to buy bigger clothes, like body dysmorphia started kicking in. I didn't want to be seen by anybody. If I took a picture or if I was in a photo, I wanted to take it so I can control the angles. Like, it was so toxic. It was so bad. I would always complain to Alexis, like, oh my God, I'm fat. I'm like, ugh. And she was like, well, you know what to do. I'm like, yeah, I know what to do. I'm just not doing it. And that's the thing. I'm very aware of excuses and, you know, the impact of those. So I kept telling her, I'm like, I know what I need to do, but for some reason, I'm just not doing it. And then one day, which was May 31st, 2021, which it seems like it was so long ago, but it actually wasn't. I said, you know what? Like, fuck this. I'm going to get my life together. And I might not know all the things, but I do know, you know, if I cut down on eating like a lot of processed foods, I become more active. I'm going to see a chance, got to stick with it. So I did that. And it was a lot of self-talking too, which I still do to this very day. And taking a lot of photos so I didn't let the scale dictate everything in my journey. So we started doing that. And then I just started looking at other things I could do to help me in my process. So I even did 75 hard, which helped me mentally with, you know, like understanding that there's always a way in life. We just make so many excuses. And that's why we're not able to reach our fullest potential. So I did that. And that definitely helped me with my mindset. Then I did phase one. And then I was like very much on track of, okay, what's next, which is why come May, June, I said, you know what? I actually can compete. That dream that I had years ago, like that can still happen for me. And yeah. And I met you guys. And
I think you made a really important point there. Cause a lot of times people try to use 75 hard and for any of you who don't know what it is, like I'll put it in the show notes. But a lot of times people try to use it as a weight loss thing because they see a lot of the results, not realizing that the real purpose behind it is to have that mental toughness to do the things that you need to do no matter what, yes. You know, and I like the way that you positioned it is exactly what somebody should be using it for, right? Finding a way, no matter what, to do the things day in and day out, whether it's easy or it's hard, right? Like just getting it done because there is always a way. You know, it's just that it's not always a comfortable way.
Yeah.
And I think that that's one of the reasons why a lot of people don't do a lot of things that they want to do, because it may not always be as comfortable as possible. And you may have to, you know, go out of your way and get up off the couch, you know, to get it done.
Uncomfortable. Yeah. And I think like one of the things that you said that's key, and we've talked about it a few times, is that decision. Like, nothing happens until you truly decide. You can complain, like you said, you were doing, you know, to Alexis, and you know better, and you can all the things, but it's like, until you really decide, it's not until then that you actually take action. And it's powerful to decide, because like you said, once you really decided and you know the date, like, really haven't turned back since, and you've just done more and more, you know.
Yeah. As you decided to go on this journey, did you have some ideas of what you thought it was going to be like before you got started, in terms of, let's say, food and training
for the stage?
Oh, absolutely. Oh my God, absolutely. I'm naturally an overthinker. I think you both know this about me. Pat several talks to me about it. So of course I had this idea of like, oh my God, so prep that you did, tip of heart, you could do anything, you can do it, but it's going to be brutal. You're probably just going to have, you know, like, I don't know, 2 cups of broccoli and grilled chicken every day. But you know, the end goal, you're gonna be able to get on stage and say, yay, look at me, I've reached this milestone. So during this process, I've definitely had to tell myself, like, you need to trust me. Even if you don't fully understand the why, you have to trust. And that's very hard for me to do, is trust other people. Just because, you know, all types of reasons, insert whatever thing. So I remember, like, even in the beginning when I got my meal plan, and I'm like, okay, I know how to follow a meal plan, this is easy. And if I saw that there was like a tablespoon of oil, I'm like, whatever, you know, just something small. Like, I'm just, like, at least I'm doing like the majority of the things. And I'm very detailed in my captions. Like they're going to love that. So I really had to like tell myself, like, no, like, get over yourself. Like, you don't have all the answers. And that's okay. I think for me, it was just so personal, because when I started my journey, it was me versus me. And it's always been that way. So the fact that now I was allowing 2 individuals to help get me to another level, that was very scary for me. Even at times, it still is scary. Like this morning, I was like, shit, I got to submit my way in, and I really don't want to. But I knew I had to do it, because you guys need that data. And especially after last night's seminar, I'm like, V, it's a part of the process. Like, just submit it. So yeah. it was definitely not what I expected. I didn't think it would be so much of a mental, not game, but like process for me. Cause I thought, you know, after building up my toughness to a certain extent, I was good to go. But I realized, like, wow, you really don't trust very easily. And you
that's
have
a, that's a really good observation.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
A lot of times, you know, it's a simple concept, right? It's like, all right, I want to get this outcome. I want my plumbing fixed. I'll call the plumber. Plumber shows up and says, you're going to need to do this. You're going to listen to him or not. You know, you go to the mechanic. The mechanic says, listen, you're going to need a new engine. It's like, all right, well, you can either trust that the mechanic knows what they're doing or not. But it's a really interesting point to kind of bring to light, because sometimes, and I've said it many, many times, it's not just that the plan be the right plan. It's also that you be willing to execute the plan in a way that allows it to kind of happen, right? Kind of unfold. Because if you don't, then it could be the best plan on paper, but if somebody's not following it, then it's no longer the best plan.
Totally.
So it's a really good point to bring up, because sometimes people worry about other things, like, it was too many carbs, it was not enough of this, it, you know, I was that, or like, trusting that you actually are going to follow the steps.
Okay, yeah.
is a really good point to bring up.
And I think how powerful goal setting is too, because like you said, you have done 75 hard, which a lot of people never will, right? Like, I've never been able to finish it. And so it's like that, like, you thought you were tough, and you were, like, to a certain extent, but there's always another level. I wrote about this yesterday. There's always, like, you know, as much as you can be killing it, and as much as you can be achieving, and as much as you can do, there's always another thing. So you might go into something definitely more prepared than you were, let's say, before all of that, right? Mentally, but still, like, thinking like, oh yeah, like, I can do this. And then be like, holy shit. Like, you know, probably you would have been okay with the broccoli and the chicken breast more so than, I have to trust these people. And as much as I'm tough in my mind, like, this is a whole other ball game. Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's the power and the beauty, in my opinion, of like big goals like that, is because it's like, you can do so much, you can achieve so much, and there's still always more that you can strive for, that you can do, you know? Oh, yeah.
Especially because, like, even when I got to the point that I was at come May, June, that was like optimal for me. I'm like, oh my gosh, at that point, I think I was down like 40 pounds. I'm like, okay, like if I'm just here, like I'm good to go. Like I'm getting compliments, left and right. I feel good, my clothes fit. But then when we made that pick stitch, when I send you my picture of my first progress pick, and I said, holy shit, wait a minute. That's how I looked 18 weeks ago. And it's crazy, especially considering the fact that there have been several times where I was able to actually eat foods that I enjoyed. Doing workouts that didn't take me hours, which is something that I used to do in the past. So even that alone, I was just amazed how my body was able to sculpt itself in a matter of 18 weeks. Mm-hmm. Like, until this day, I'm still like, that's really like imposter. I'm like, that's really me. Like in those photos, like that's how I look. So, yeah. Yeah.
So how did you navigate through structuring the things that you needed to get done? Because one of the things that we always say on the show is that everybody that we help or help, you know, be a part of getting ready for the stage, they have a life outside of competing, right? Like they have work, they have things. So one of the things that I always like to talk about is how you were able to structure making sure that you executed the things that you needed to execute and still go to work and do all the things that you needed to do. How was it? How was that for you?
I keep talking about Save Up Hard, but that helped me a lot because with the program Save Up Hard, you have to do a lot of tasks and you like check the things off, right? So for me, already being used to that setup helped me. In addition to that, I'm an educator, so I'm used to just having a lot on my plate. So on Sunday nights, well, Sundays, I knew, okay, you're going to get up, go to the grocery store, get all the things, and then you're going to meal prep everything, weigh it all out, so that way you're good to go Monday through Friday. Right. And all the little things, like if I had my oil, like I put it like in a small little, like, what is it called? Solo cup, like having everything prepped out. When it came to my workouts, I just knew because my days are so long, we just do it in the morning. So waking up a little bit earlier, cause I used to go to the gym at 5 AM, but I told myself, no, go at 4:30, especially with leg days and like, you know, the warmth and all of those things. So it was honestly just telling myself, this is the plan you're going to follow, do it. And there were days where, trust me, I didn't want to do it. Like I would wake up like, oh, this is bullshit. I don't want to do it. I snoozed my alarm like 10 times. I'm like, no, you signed up for this. Like, this is what you said you wanted, right? You said you wanted to change and shut up and do it. And I think at times that's what we need to tell ourselves, because we'll create a million one reasons why we can't. Oh, this thing happened in the morning. Oh, I had an ache here. It's like, that's an excuse at the end of the day. Like, just get it done. So, and that also became easier when I started seeing an output. I'm not going to lie, because you could do something blindly and tell yourself, oh, I trust my coaches, which I definitely like did. Like I started to trust you guys more and more and more. And when I saw the outcome of, oh, snap, I have separation in my quads. Oh my gosh, look at my biceps. Oh, I have abs. Like I didn't think I was gonna be able to get those because of my genetics and me seeing how my family is, as you guys even saw. So seeing the output in addition to me just telling myself, you have to make sure you're structuring all of your preparation. Those were the two things that really, really helped me.
So you woke up or you worked out at 4:30 a.m.?
4:30 a.m. So I would wake up at 4. I had an alarm at 4:15. That said, I think like, V, like, let's effing go. I probably would still have it because I used it. Yep. So I have my 4. Oh, I turned it off, but my 4:10, let's effing go. So I have all these reminders. Like this one's like, you have 15 minutes left in your workout. So I'm very much OCD. Coach says like, you know, yeah, kind of, but I think I'm OCD and type A with things. So I just did that for the 18 weeks. And even after prep was done, was like kind of done, I still wake up early like that because now it's routine for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have a question, mm-hmm. which I usually don't because he's the question person, but this really always stands out about you to me, especially right now. What is the thing behind you talking to yourself like that? Like, I think it's so interesting because I've never said, all right,
like, thank you.
Let's go do this. All right, ladies. Like, I don't look in the mirror and talk to myself. Like, I don't, but you really talk to yourself all the time. And you tell us about the conversations you're having, like as if you were telling us about a conversation you're having with, you know, anybody. Yeah. I find that, like, talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, sure. So I think a lot of it has to do with just me dealing with like a lot of like mental instability. And then like after going to therapy and then just having like certain times in my life where honestly, I didn't know if I was even going to like be here on this earth. I had to really start to pour into myself, talk to myself. And as you guys, I think I told you guys, I call this my healing journey. So in doing so, if there was no one around to talk to, I would just like kind of talk to myself, whether that's writing it down or having thoughts out loud. So when it came time to motivate myself, I would still do those things like, okay, V, like, you got it. You can do it. Wait, no, V, do this, do that. So it just kind of manifested into like a normal thing for me that I do. And it really does help me because I feel like you should have a great deal of who you are and be able to big yourself when no one else is going to do that, because in life, you can't expect others to big you up. So I just started doing that for myself. And it helped me a lot with not only this process, but just like in life. So if I ever feel like really, really down, I'm able to pull myself out of that.
I love that.
And that answers the question.
Yeah, I think you bring up a really interesting point. You know, we are, for the most part, all of us are always willing or inclined to give advice or help someone else, right? Like if you're going through a really shitty day, but somebody called you and said, man, I'm struggling today. I got this going on. I'm sure that you would find something positive to say, or at least come up with some, some sort of solution. But we rarely do that for ourselves. You know, if anything, we are quick to beat ourselves up and tear ourselves down. So it's a really great concept to talk to yourself because no one's going to know you like you know you.
And I know this is nothing to do with
it all has to do with
this journey is so about self, right? And it's like a lot of times the reason why I want to highlight it is because a lot of times people think that it's about the abs and it's about, you know, the look. And sure, that's super exciting. Like you said, there's nothing more motivating than seeing that your hard work is paying off and that, you know, you're on the right track and feeling good about it all. But like everyone always says that the, you know, the most important relationship is the one that you have with yourself, but no one really knows what that means, right? Like, does that mean that you accept yourself? Does that mean that you're, you know, not too harsh on yourself? Like, and then the other thing that I hear a lot of times people say is like, you're the only person that you're going to be with from the moment you're born to the moment you die. No one else you're going to be with every single minute of every single day from the moment you come into this earth to the moment you leave it, only you. But very few of us actually have like a real relationship with ourselves as if it was almost somebody else.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where you're talking to yourself, where you're digging yourself out of something on your own. And again, it's great to have a support system, but I think for anyone out there listening or watching, it's like, that's such an important thing. Like it's so, I am always focused on like, oh, you can cook your chicken this way and look at this way and live a big life. And all of that is great. But it's like, if someone's listening and they're like, wow, like that's a really cool concept. I'm going to start like building that relationship with myself and talking to myself and making notes for myself. Like, I think that's super cool. And you've done that since we've met you.
I agree.
Thank you.
Right?
If I can add this too, I think another thing that plays a part in that, I think for anyone that has hit a period, and this could be a whole different convo, if you've ever hit rock bottom, you have two options, right? You can either become a victim of that, or like I said, you can really pull yourself out. And the way you pull yourself out, like for me, it had to do with a lot of the self-talk, because I could have easily become a victim to, you know, like my mind, like how I was feeling and things of that nature. And it could have been a whole different outcome for me. So I think that's what it is for me. I think, my first time actually realizing like, hey, like you at times, like you're not feeling okay up here. And like, what is the impact of that? Like on you and your life. When I first like realized that about myself, when I was, I think 16 years old, that's when I started to kind of tell myself, okay, like you might need to pour into you. But I didn't really understand that fully until I started my healing journey a year and a half ago. So it like really added to me noticing like, hey, this is an issue. What are you going to do about it? And if you ever feel low again, what do you do? Like, hey, keep talking to yourself, point to yourself.
Yeah.
If that's not all that you can do, you can exercise, you can go to therapy. Like there's so many different factors that can help pull you out. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that I like to use a lot.
And even that, calling yourself out and be like, no, you said you were going to do it. No excuses, right? Like that's really having a loving relationship with anybody. Like I'm not going to let my son sell himself short or him or my friends. And he does it to me. He calls me out on my shit all the time. It's like, so a lot of times, maybe that's even a misconception. Like, oh, you got to love yourself. You got to talk to yourself in a positive way. And you got to, sure, yes. But it's like, you also got to call yourself out, right? Mm-hmm. Like that's really what it means to be.
Exactly.
Yes.
How much of an impact has exercise had on the way that you feel physically and on that mental side? Where have you noticed that maybe you're going through something tough, but that workout, you know, has an impact on you? How is that?
Absolutely. At this point in my life, fitness is just so like ingrained in who I am now. Like, I can't see myself without it. So it makes a huge impact, because there's days where I am feeling shitty and then I'll have a workout. I'm like, actually, what was going on? It wasn't that bad. It was pretty minuscule. I probably just like, you know, overthought, like I probably just had like a manifestation of thoughts or whatever it is. So I would say, yeah, like I don't really see myself without fitness in my life, because it's helped me so much, not just in my adult life, but in my teenager life, in my early college years, like all of that. And now I'm finally in a place where it's stable and sustainable, where I don't have to go to fitness for 3 months and feel like, okay, I made progress, I feel okay, and then I'm gonna slack off and do it again. Now I'm in a place where it's a stable routine for me, and it just helps me feel like I'm thriving. So yes, it helps me physically, because the way my clothes fit and like buying new clothes and all the things, and then like mentally feeling like, okay, I am calmer, I am at peace with what's happening. But it's just so routine for me. Like for me, fitness is, it's like brushing your teeth. It's just something I do on a daily. And when I don't do it, I actually don't feel my best. Not saying you don't need rest days, but if there's ever a day, like for example, yesterday was supposed to be an active rest day for me, but I was on the road for 23 hours, right? And I was telling Alexis, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just feel like, ugh, because I didn't get a pump today. Like I didn't get a workout in. And for some, that might sound crazy, but for me, it's like, no, like this is a part of my life and it makes me feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that. So
100%. And as you're saying that, you know, one of the first things that I thought, and completely unrelated, but related at the same time, is you mentioned that you work in education, right? Why isn't this a bigger component in that younger generation? If there is so much value behind it, right? As adults, we recognize it and we see how it feels and how it plays out. Why is there such little emphasis put on it at that younger stage in life? And there's not that much of a pursuit for it. You know, why do you see that happening? Or why has there been such a transition? Because when I went to school, you know, you had to do it. Like there was no way out of it. You know, I didn't like all sports, but I had to play all of them, right? And there was never a time where there wasn't something physical. And of course, at that stage, I didn't look at it like that. But now, as a coach, as a parent, you know, why are we going further away from that?
I have a few thoughts about that, because I'm a millennial. So even for me in school, we had PE, and it was real PE. Like you had to take a test and all those things. I think in this generation, there's a few things. So like one, budget cuts, right? So if you don't have the funds allocated to get materials, to have like sports and all those things, you're just not going to have them unless you do something that is, what is it, like township related, right? I also think instant gratification has a lot to do with it too. So like I'll talk about working out and then I'll get into like how it relates to students. So like with fitness, working out, right? That takes time. You have to like really like commit to see it through. Like you talked about that last night, like commitment and consistency, right? I think we live in a time where if I do a thing, I want to see the outcome within minutes or the next day. And if I don't, it's not purposeful for me. So I think that's one mindset that we have even as adults. So we're probably passing that on to our kids. Then for a kid's point of view, everything is virtual. So even if like I'm not out playing a sport, I can watch someone do it. So it kind of feels like I'm doing it. So I feel like there's so many factors in this new generation, which is why we're not as mobile as we used to be. And we just kind of sit around, but we don't realize it because we pick up our phone. We see others doing it. Like I have people tell me even, V, I watch you work out every day. Like you're part of my routine. I go to your story and I watch you work out. And I feel like I worked out.
And yeah, I'm breaking like, a sweat over here.
And I'm like,
But you didn't.
But you didn't though, sis. You actually didn't do it. You got to get up and put in the work. And it's like, yeah, I know, but like, I just get so tired. Like, there's some like insert whatever excuse you can make as a human being. So I think, yeah, it's mindset, right? It's budget cuts from school. The instant gratification that like we yearn for in this society, in this day and age. I think those three things definitely, in addition to probably a million other factors, is a reason why fitness and movement and sports, it's just not a necessity like how it used to be.
Yeah, and it's at the same time
bigger than ever.
Right.
Bigger of a necessity than ever.
And it's interesting that you say it like that, right? Because while I agree with all of it, right? We are in this microwave version of things where, you know, we want things right now. Yet when you look at the education side, you know, that fifth grade student doesn't walk in and be like, you know, I'm kind of bored with this. I'd really just like to graduate. And then we let that happen. So right. There are things that we impose that waiting period on. It's just on certain things that have like tangible application, right? Because when you leave school and you're a child and you become an adult, you start to understand the value behind taking care of this physical body. Mm-hmm. And you waste or have wasted a lot of time without that understanding that now you gotta have to make up some time, when the truth is that if those things were instilled, you know, at an earlier age, then at least you have that appreciation for, you know what, you should probably shower regularly. You should probably, you know, drink water, like these basic principles that we instill in kids, yet movement is rarely one of them.
Yeah.
And it's got the payoff is so much higher. Because that person that's physically fit can work longer, right? If we talk about work. The person that has better oxygenation in their body can study longer. We have a higher propensity for learning something. So there are so many things that are tied to it that are good, yet we shy away from it for something as simple as a budget cut, right? Or like, that's, you know, it's going to get hot. You're going to get a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like, well, what about when you're doing 4 hours of homework? Isn't that uncomfortable? And we're okay with that. And I didn't want to go in that direction, but you know.
Yeah, that's a whole other fucking podcast.
Yeah.
You're right.
All of it really starts here, which is why
Like the amount of like mental health things that happen with kids these days because of, and listen, I am the first to say like technology is phenomenal. Yes. I am all for it. The person that's bitching about social media is using it for the wrong reasons, right? Yes. Like, it's amazing. It connects us all. It allows us to see what people are doing. It allows us to learn. It allows us to see a world of things that we never otherwise would. So I love technology. And I think it's amazing that it's incorporated in these kids' lives. I see so many kids now, you know, our son's homeschooled, but so many kids when they're coming home from school with their laptops, like, they think it's so cool. I remember back in the day, like, to have that one room that had computers in it. It was those big bubble computers. You know what I mean? And that was like, holy shit, like there's a computer in there. And it's like, the world's changed so much just in the last like 15 years. So I think it's all amazing, but more than ever, because of those things, right? Like the lack of movement is terrible. Like the lack of sunlight, the lack of fresh air, the lack of interaction, personal interaction. Yes. More than ever, these kids need to get outside, because when they get home, like you're saying, they either have 4 hours of fucking homework, which I don't know where that came from, because it did not used to be like that when I was a kid, mm-hmm. or they're on their devices because everyone's busy and everyone's doing their thing. No one's out playing outside till it gets dark and then you run home because you're going to get in trouble, right? And I'm not trying to live back in the day. It's a different time and we shouldn't live like that. But the effects of the movement, you always say movement is medicine, you know, on these children, like for their mental health, mental and physical, is so important. And a lot of times you'll watch the news or you'll see different things, and you can attest to this because you're actually in that world, about all the things that everyone's fighting about, what should be talked about or not should be talked about. Like, don't worry about that shit and get these fucking kids outside so they can breathe in some fresh air, right? But everything's like, well, everyone needs a trophy, or we should be talking and not talking about this and not talking about that. Like, everyone's like focused on the wrong thing.
That's exactly what it is.
We're
focusing on the wrong things, like especially because COVID did set us back, but I feel like we're still using that as a crutch.
Right.
And like, now I feel like in schools, especially like as like an administrator, it just feels like it's always about like a test.
Yeah.
So like what, like for example, we, like when we were growing up, we took the FCAT, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then it was called the FSA. Well, I'm sorry, no, now it's the FSA. No, now it's the best standards, and like we have a PM 1, 2, 3. So kids are going to be taking 3 different benchmark assessments this year. So you have to make sure they know all these standards. And if they have a practice assessment, like let's say once a month, How do they do? Let's look at that data. And then let's make sure that we progress monitor for the next one. So a lot of our kids are stressed, which goes into the mental part too. Like they're stressed out because they feel they need to move. But the crazy thing about it is when they do get at least PE, because going outside is free, right? When they go outside, the first thing they do, they don't want to move. I mean, the boys, it's South Florida. Football is a big thing in South Florida. So the boys will get a football. They might play, but especially our girls, I don't want to get my hair messed up. Ooh, I don't want to sweat. I'm like, honey, you got to move. Right. But if you don't prioritize or appreciate, like you said earlier, coach, your health as something that needs to be prioritized, you're not going to view it like that. Like,
because that child's going to be an adult like that.
Right. Yep, because even my students, they make jokes to me because if they find, I don't know how these kids find everything, but I saw your TikTok, oh, you work out too much. Or like, yeah, like you're skinny. Like they'll make comments to me. And these are kids that are like even as young as 7. Wow. Saying like, oh, you work out too much. Yeah, you're skinny or this. And I'm like, oh, honey, like it's much more than the physicality. It's so much more that, but if your mindset is not there and you don't appreciate your temple for what it is,
Yeah, there's so many things there that honestly, like, I think need to be openly discussed more. And I probably would want to have a whole other episode to go over them, because I could come up with a list of things that I want to, like, point at and have somebody like, this is why this is happening like this. But it's interesting to hear all of those points that you are making and how you utilize exercising and eating right to kind of come out on the other side and start this healing process that you're on, or this healing journey. Because ultimately, I'm sure you found that once you start taking care of yourself, then a lot of the other things around you kind of like play out the right way, right?
Oh, absolutely. I even see how, especially even just working in education like this day and age, because everything is so fast paced and there's so much stress around testing and performance management, how a lot of like my colleagues, you know, like I don't have time to do things that are pouring into me. So like they'll get Uber Eats or they go home and they go right to sleep. And they're like, V, how do you make time? I'm like, well, it's not like I have more time than you do. Like we have the same amount of time. It's a priority for me though. But I don't care what else is going on. Like I'm going to pour into my cup, because if I don't, I have nothing for myself. And right. I've been for so many years, hence why I was able to shoot all the way up to 178.
And the busier you are, the less time you have and more you're
exactly.
I literally just got a message about that. Like I've been watching this and I want to do that, but like there's right now I really can't commit to anything because right now I have a million things going on. It's like that's exactly why you need to commit to something.
Exactly.
A million things going on, and clearly none of them revolve around you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Because I see it all the time, like a lot of my colleagues, like they're like, oh my God, I really need to start doing X. I need to start doing Z. Oh my God, I'm packing on pounds. I'm packing on this. So like, B, how are you going in reverse? I'm like, because I'm prioritizing myself. It's very simple. I'm like, I'm not taking a pill. I didn't get surgery. Like I'm literally just pouring into myself and just trying to be 1% better every single day, period. Like that's really all that I'm doing.
And everything else still gets done, right? Or did you stop working?
Oh no, and everything else still gets done. That's the thing.
Right. Like
even better, if anything, in a more efficient way, because I'm able to be even more productive. And say, okay, you're going to take this 90 minutes of work time to get these 5 different tasks done. And now you're done. So now you can work on something else that you probably, you know, had on the back burner. So it actually makes me more productive at work. And that's what people don't understand. Like if you just pour into you, like everything else becomes so much more manageable, but it starts with just doing it.
Even circling back to what we were saying about the kids and that instant gratification. It isn't just the kids, because even what you just said right now, right, about how your coworkers are watching the pounds start to add up, right? That process takes time. Mm-hmm. Adding on the pounds doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, and it takes a process, and it takes commitment. You got to be really committed to doing the things that you are doing to pack on those pounds. Right? Day in and day out, you are showing up that way to do the things you're doing to add that weight. But then when it's time to work on getting it off, you want it right now. Why are people forgetting the journey that they went on to add all of that, right? The commitment that they put in to make all of that happen and to feel the way they feel, even though it felt like shit. That level of commitment is exactly what you need to take it off. Yeah. Right? Invest the same amount of time that it took to put it on to take it off. Right? Yeah. But no, it's got to be right now.
Yep. That's why I always say it's this. I'm telling you, it's mindset. It is
100%.
Oh, mindset. Because no one's going to view it as, oh, I committed to getting Uber Eats every single day or eating all these like pastries that were in the snack room. Like, no one's viewing it like that. But it's like, no, you did commit day in and day out and financially to eat like this and live this way. So,
right. All of it is a commitment.
All of it is
a commitment. You don't think about it as a commitment because to you, you're looking at it like convenient. But yep. You are committed. You are seriously consistent.
And the crazy thing about that, Coach, is that level of commitment is not even acknowledged. But for someone like me, right, who comes in with their Tupperware, I have my work skill. I have a car skill. It's like, damn, B, you're so committed. And in my head, I'm like, you are too. We're just not to the same lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
But you're committed as well.
And like I always say, you walk in like that and it's okay for someone to say something. But if your coworker walks in and she's heavy and she's got a tub of KFC, if you're like, damn, you're going to eat that again. You know how fucked up that would sound, but it's not fucked up the other way.
Oh yeah. I just comments made about me all day. It'd be like,
but if you did it,
it'll be like, okay, everybody, we're about to order. Oh, B, we're just going to skip you. Or if there's like food that we got for the entire campus, B, we know you don't eat like this. It's like these disclaimers. I get them all the time. At this point, I just put them out.
Right, as if you
know that if I did that, it'll be an issue.
Right.
You can open up your food and be like, oh, let me have my food since I know you guys are going to eat this. Right. Heavy. You know, exactly. Imagine how rude that would be.
Yep. You know? So usually what I do is I'll just step away. Like, I'll either go in my office, I'll shut my door, which is kind of sad. You should have to do that. And it's not that I'm being isolated. It's just that I don't want to hear the disclaimers of, you're going to miss out on this. Oh, we know you don't eat this way. And it's like, okay. I actually do sometimes. I have my open meals, but right. Am I committing to this lifestyle every single day? Absolutely not. I'm going to feel like shit.
You know, but we talk about it often because that kind of scenario plays out everywhere. At work, friends, family, right? God forbid you offer somebody a Quest bar and say, hey, don't worry about it. If you eat this Quest bar, you're not going to get in shape. It's okay if you have one. Mm-hmm. If you come work out with me today, don't worry about it. You're not going to end up being in shape. Just come work out with me the one time. The same way people do the other thing. Take a bite of this. This cake isn't going to do anything. Come
just a little bit.
Just a little bit. Not, you know,
just one day.
But God forbid you do the other part, right? God forbid you flip it back. You know, it's like, I don't want that Quest bar. It tastes like crap. Like,
that's so true. It's so true.
It's and I tell a lot of times somebody will which was going to be my next question. A lot of times somebody will text and say, hey, I'm going over to my family's house. It's a party, a birthday, Christmas, insert thing. Like they're always pressuring me to do this. Can I? I'm like, offer them a Quest bar. Offer them to get on the floor and do some push-ups with you.
I need to try that.
Extend the courtesy to let them know that nothing's going to happen.
I need to try that.
The same way they extend it to you. Don't tell your coach.
Oh, yeah. Because that, like, even this past week, well, like a few days, because I was a little under the weather, but then we did go to my family's house and went to Alexis' family's house too. And woo! The comments, we're going to fatten y'all up. You're too skinny. If you look at us, we're all big. And I'm just like, this is not the way things should be. Like, even the comments that families are making about themselves and comments they're making to us, I'm like, no, like, this should not be the way, like, you consume food on a daily basis.
Right. Like, hold on a second.
Like, eat more.
Everybody stop.
Yeah. So, and it was so much, and we talked about it on the way going back home. I'm just like, I really want to have like an intervention almost, like what people, like my loved ones, let me know, hey, there's actually a different way to go about this. And you can still have foods that you enjoy, but you just need to have them in moderation.
Yeah.
Or even asking like, why is there comfortability with making comments about someone that is like, you know, trying to really like improve like their life in themselves. Yeah. But if I make a comment about, you know, someone else and they're probably on a different journey. It's like, oh, well then like, that's rude.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Like, you think you're better. And it's like, no, not at all. Not at all. Like, I love you and care about you. And like, I also want you to excel with your health, because another thing that we heard when we went home for the holidays about like, you know, like health issues that some family members are having or how they feel about after they eat. I'm like, but you're committing to this every single day. Like, of course there's an impact. There's an impact there.
Right.
Because even us eating pieces of things like these past few days, we felt like shit.
Yeah,
I'm like, I feel bloated. I feel like I lost my pump. Like, it was like the side effects were crazy, but 2 years ago, I would eat that way. I didn't think anything of it.
Right, because now you say it all the time.
All the time. No one knows what it feels like to feel good until they have felt good and then go back.
Yes.
Right? The truth of the matter is that you probably did feel bad regularly, but that became normal.
Yes.
You felt like that all the time. So that's your norm, right? And then you had to really go out of your way to feel worse than that. Mm-hmm. But then once you start feeling good and you have energy and vitality
and digestion is good,
and all of those things are better. Yeah. The second that you start eating things that are not going to play in your best favor, you're going to feel that right away. And that's when the light bulb goes off and like, hold on a second.
Yep.
Do those people feel like this all the time? Did right. I feel like this all the time? Like, cause.
And then that question that everyone always asks, are you going to do this forever? And then you look at them like, are you going to do that forever? Because our forevers are going to look very different.
That
you
far. Know? Our forevers are not the same.
Right. But no one thinks about that when they're eating whatever. They're because, not like, I can do this forever.
Because a lot of times what's really happening is that you having that commitment to improving the quality of mm-hmm. your life and doing these things highlights that I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I have to find a way to either justify or defend or even criticize what you're doing, because all I see is that, damn, you are putting in the level of work and I know that we have the same 24 hours and I'm not. And I'm not, and I got to figure out, I got to give myself a reason out or a way out or a reason why I'm not. So might as well like attack it in a way and be like, damn, you're gonna, like, that's
so that I can justify
too difficult. It's too difficult to do this all the time. It's like, it's not, it's really too difficult not. To do that all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get back into the show stuff. Cause we are ranting.
You went in a whole other way for now. Like,
okay.
Circle back.
Bring it back.
Well, it's all connected.
It's all connected. Listen, this is why we do the show, because a lot of times people do see the Instagram stuff and they see a picture and they don't realize that the difference between the you guys that get on stage and other people is that you are committed to the process for a lot longer than other people are, and you don't let things distract. Mm-hmm. And it's not that you are eating something different or that your training style is different. Yeah. I am happy to bring you all on the show and for you guys to say, no, I work out for an hour or less, you know, or, you know, I have open meals and I go to parties and I do this. Like, I want everybody to hear that. So yeah. it is all connected. Yeah.
And really quick side note, we hear this in business all the time. Like, you know, someone that's ultra successful in whatever thing that they do will say, like, I'm not special. Like, I'm not different. I just decided that I was going to do X, Y, or Z thing. And I just did it until I succeeded at it. Right.
That
is the only difference between someone successful at something and someone that isn't.
Yep,
right? That has the ultimate physique, the ultimate business, the ultimate relationship, like insert thing, is that they have decided. And from the moment they decided, even if it's up and down, like they have stuck to it. It's the same thing with this stuff. The girl on Instagram is not any different than you. I know everyone wants to blame genetics and age and how many kids they have and their thyroid and whatever the fuck you want to blame it on, right? Your culture, like here at all. Mm-hmm. Nothing is different between you and somebody else, and me and somebody else, and somebody, like insert person. The only difference is what you're saying, that we have decided and we have stuck right. it through.
You woke up, you worked out, you ate your food, day in, day out, no matter what. On the days that it felt good. And on the days that you were tired, you did it anyway. Over a longer period of time than most people are willing to put in.
That's it.
You know? And what we do on our side is find a way to navigate around that. That's what we're doing on our side. Let's figure out a way that allows you to continue to do these things in maybe a simpler, you know, style of doing it with some more flexibility around it that gives you the opportunity to have the regimen, but at the same time have quality of life and enjoy it and do all of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
But other than that, no one over here is doing something secret. I could tell you, I've never, never, ever pushed supplements on anybody, right? Other than a multivitamin and some protein to help them with their intake. Other than that, none of my people take supplements. Forget drugs.
Yeah,
supplements, drugs. You know, when have you ever seen me write about a fat burner, say, take this pill to never.
I didn't take any of that during prep.
to no one.
And my pre-workout. That's all we got, pre-workout.
And tight, none of that going on, you know, because it's not that it's a bad thing. It's just not required. If you have enough consistency and let it compound and let it play out. Yeah, all right. So when did it feel real for you? When did it feel like you were actually going to get on stage? Was it the week of the show, when you got to the hotel?
When did it feel real? Because everything was so surreal. Let's see. When did it
Was it the photo shoot?
I think it started to get really real for me, especially when people would like even repost the banner, or when I got like the calls and texts like, oh, I think I'm going to be coming to Miami to see you. And I'm like, wait, they're coming not just to see me, it's to say hi. Like, they're going to come see me to get on a stage. And even like when I had some of my teachers come to the show to support me, I was like, oh shit. So like, you actually have to do this thing that you said you were going to do. Like, it's not a, you can't like back out now. Like, people really are expecting you to like go and perform and see, you know, you debut like your physique. So that's when it started to get a little real. And then I would say definitely show weekend, just like big, like show weekend to me, I felt like I was in a whole different realm of reality that I did not know existed. And don't get me wrong, it was so much fun. That's why I'm like, oh, I'm doing this shit again. But just seeing like all the other competitors, the photo shoot, doing the hotel check-ins, that you see these things on Instagram and you're like, oh my God, like that's what those girls do. So then actually like doing it myself, I'm like, oh shit, this is actually happening. So I think I was already feeling it when people would tell me they were going to come and support me. And I knew that meant like, oh, you really are going to do this thing where you're on stage. But then definitely like show weekend was when it really hit me like, oh snap. Like, you're really about to compete on stage.
You're one of those girls. Yeah.
Right. You're one of those girls. Like, you're going to be wearing a bikini V, like, you know, out, and people are going to be judging you. And
on like, purpose.
On purpose, exactly. So
for this, I paid to come here and get judged.
Like I actually paid money to get judged. Like, who am I and what is happening right now? Yeah, it was so surreal, but I think the weekend is what helped me get into the mindset that this is actually gonna happen. And I'm happy that we did a photo shoot, one as a team, so it prepared me for what that'll feel like. And then doing it, that Friday definitely helped me feel more comfortable with feeling like, you know, confident in my body. And stuff, and ladies helping me with that. So, yeah, I would say both of those things. Folks saying they're going to show up and support me. And then the actual show weekend is when
it's What about up. That moment right before you get on stage? How was that? You're in line.
Ooh, first I was like, you know, in my head, overthinking. Because I'm looking at all the other girls like, oh, my God, she looks great. Oh, my God. Da, 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 da. So at first I was in my head, and then I was just like, you know what, to make this less like awkward for yourself, less nerve-wracking for yourself, just like be yourself, like be social. So we just started like having conversation, saying things like, you know, regardless of what happens, like good luck to everybody, taking pictures. So I guess socializing helped ease the nerves a bit, but I was still very much nervous. Still very nervous, but socializing with the girls that were like next to me in the line and just like in the backstage room definitely helped.
Were you surprised that, or what surprised you the most about the weekend? Like
about the whole
WBFF weekend? Like, what was your, I guess, biggest takeaway there, or something that you didn't expect?
Let me see. There were a few things. I would say, Well, one, and I kind of alluded to it earlier, just that I didn't know how big of a deal this was. When I say this, federations of fitness, because in my world pre-prep, I'm thinking, you know, the optimal level is just going to the gym, looking good, and that's it. So then when you start hearing about federations and the different ones and how they're, and then actually being a part of it and seeing like, yo, this is some people's like whole lives. And then hearing even Paul Dillard talk about how this can like really transform you as a person, your trajectory is your career. I started asking myself like, V, like, would you want to do something like this? Like, as far as like it being a part of your career, because you feel so self-satisfied when you do it, you're making all these cool connections, you're being brought outside your comfort zone. So that's when I realized too, like, oh shit, like this is a really big deal. Like, this is not just, I'm doing some cute little pageant. Like, this can possibly change my life, and not only my mindset, but like my life, depending on how far I want to take it.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What about the camaraderie amongst competitors?
Like, was that shocking for me or?
Yeah.
A little bit, I'm not going to lie, because I think it's easy to comment on how someone else looks and give them their glows. Like, oh my God, you look amazing. So to have some, at least from my experience, but then to have people say that about yourself, you're just like, oh, okay. I don't look like, you know, I'm out of place. And I think Laye said it the morning of, and I actually cried. You said, you look, you belong on that stage. And that made me tear. Ooh, it made me tear up. Cause it's just when you struggle with body dysmorphia and the way you look, you will always have that mindset of like, what am I doing here? Should I be here right now? Am I really ready? So like the camaraderie and then like just like the compliments, even after the show. And mind you, as you guys know, didn't place, right? Some pros even came to me, they were like, I just want you to know you look amazing. Like your transformation, even looking at you right now, even my mom said that people in the audience, because when they were very loud, they would turn around. They were like, are you the mom? And they were like, she looks amazing. So like, even that was like so reassuring to me of like, be like, no, acknowledge it. Like, you look good, girl. Like you did a great job. Like all the self-talk you give yourself, add that onto it. Like acknowledge that you do look good and like you put in the work.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's exactly what.
Totally. Was it surprising that, like, what did you expect or did you even think about like what it would be like backstage in terms of like, obviously not our team, but like, any of the other girls, did you think it would be catty? Did you think it'd be competitive? Did you think it'd be weird? Did you think it was going to just be fun and good camaraderie? Like,
oh, all those things. Actually, I thought it was going to be competitive, catty, all those things, actually. So I didn't really know what to expect. And then, even though our team is big, only three of us competed that day.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all like, you know, like in our own like thoughts and things like that, like trying to like get ourselves together. So the fact that it was the exact opposite, that, and we had Natasha backstage, we had Jenny backstage. And if y'all watched, I love y'all, because they were helping us out. Like, what do you guys need? Because I was all over the place. Like, wait a minute, I need help with this. I need help with this. Where's my earrings? So even just having like teammates that were there to help us, even though it wasn't their day to compete, like that meant the world to me because it's nerve wracking. Like it was my first time.
100%. 100%. So show's over, right? You do the thing, you go back home. What were some of the things that you were thinking about, like once it was all done? Because there's a lot of buildup to that moment.
Oh, right? Yeah.
You're thinking about posing and your outfits and this.
How is the stage moment going to feel?
Yes.
But then once it's all done, what was going through your mind?
Gotcha. So for me, I actually went through like a little bit of a switch, and I told Laye about this. So at first it was, you know, I won my prep. When I asked coach, what do I get as a grade? Coach said I got an A. So for me, I was like, okay, I did what I was supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not going to lie, I started overthinking. Wait a minute, why didn't you get at least first call outs, V? You didn't place. People are saying you look amazing, but yet that the outcome does not align with that. So did you really do good? Did your bikini blend in a little too much with your hair? Like I started to critique myself a little too harshly, if I'm being honest. And then I had to like talk to Alexis and tell her like, hey, I'm starting to have these thoughts and it's like starting to bring me down a little bit. Like I should be happy right now, but now I'm starting to critique myself. And she's like, no, like don't do that because you said your goal wasn't any of that. Your goal was just to win your prep and make it to the stage. And you did that. She was like, now the next one, she's like, if you want to give yourself a different type of goal, you can. So that she's like, as you guys know, like that's like my life partner right there. So like she definitely helped me when I get like a little overwhelmed with my thoughts, like I go to her and that helped me a lot because I quickly went from yay to nay, like the why, like you worked so hard. So like, why wasn't that acknowledged then?
Right. So what is next for you?
So next for me, definitely doing the season opener, April 8th. And JDM, hey JDM. JDM was the one who told me, he was like, you need to do NPC. You need to do NPC. And I was like, okay. So I told him, yes. I think I told you guys this too. I know that's March 25th, if I'm not mistaken. So I would say those two things are next. Definitely nervous because I know they're not the same.
Right.
Like I know Lace would always tell me like, well, like, you know, WBFF, that's not bodybuilding, but NPC is. I know the posing is different. So I'm just wondering, okay, like, what are you going to do as far as preparation goes when you're learning how to pose for this federation as opposed to this one. So yeah, but I love a challenge and I definitely want to try both. I don't know how crazy that may seem, but those are the two things that are next for me.
As you're saying that, the first thing that comes to mind is how much or how do you think this goal has impacted you or impacted your life?
Oh, greatly. I would say I have more of a the sky's the limit type of mentality. Even me thinking about how my career can change, because I've said it, I don't know if I told you guys, but I was
you
thinking
about it.
This year. Yeah, I think I want to go on a different trajectory and just get more into fitness. Like, I really want to help people. Like, even downstairs, our garage, we're transforming into an entire gym because I truly want to help people, especially Black and brown people, like, understand, like, hey, fitness can be a part of your lifestyle. You have to make certain tweaks, but, like, look at the outcome. Like, you can have, you know, like, you can have longevity with your life. You can feel good. You can look good, like, all these things. And I don't think going through this process, that would have been my reality. It would have been, okay, so I have my safe 9-to-5, you know, I went to college, this is my career, and I'm just going to do it until retirement. Now my thought process is, okay, what can I do that's going to make me truly happy and have a quality of life? And am I doing something where it doesn't feel like work? Because anytime I talk about wellness, fitness, whatever you want to call it, like, I can tell how happy it makes me. Mm-hmm. And I can talk about it all day. Like, even last night, the Zoom call, I was the one driving through Florida and I said, at 7:30, babe, you need to wake up and log me in. I cannot miss that nutrition seminar. I want to hear everything that comes out of Coach and Lisa's mouths. And I did. Even the questions that people were asking that were sitting down, because it just gets me going. And I know how much fitness has changed my life, which is why I want to invest the time into it. So it's changed me greatly.
Two things I want to touch on there that have nothing to do with like fitness itself. Fitness is how we got there. But one is there's something about this journey, and I've seen it with everybody, whether they continue to compete or not. There's something about that process and everything that we do in that process, you know, that we create ending in that weekend that brings somebody to life. Like, it makes you feel alive. And everyone describes that in a different way, but it gives you a whole new awakening of like, holy shit, like, what does make me happy? Like, happy matters, right? Like, it makes you look at things so different, even if you never want to compete again, because there's something about that that just really makes people feel something different, either they've never felt before or that they haven't felt in a really long time.
Oh yeah.
That's one. And the second thing is, when you do that thing, because I don't care how extroverted you are, which most people are not, in terms of like going on a stage in a bikini in front of other people and modeling, right? That's uncomfortable for like 99% of people. There's something about overcoming that makes you feel like, well, what else could I do? Right. Yeah. And when you couple, like, it's almost like a superpower. You're like, holy shit. Like, even if you're like, I never want to do that again, but it's like, but I did that. And like, what else could I do? Not only did I do that, right? Because if I said, all right, like, for the first time ever, you'll get on stage in 2 weeks. Like, it's not about the stage. It's about all of the things that you had to do to put yourself in that position to then do the stage thing. And those two things combined make you feel like a completely different person. Like, well, I did that. Like, what else can I do? And it literally feels like a superpower. And it makes you think, well, I could change my career, even though like most people wouldn't think about doing that because you go to college and you have a safe job and this is the thing you know and this is the thing you do and this is what you do until you retire. Like, no, like, we talk about living a big life all the time. You get to change, you get to recreate, you get to take inventory. But if you don't pour into you and you don't put yourself in situations where you're even going to think differently, then you never will. And I feel like so many people are walking around just half dead.
Oh, absolutely.
Opportunity to do anything like this. And it's not about a show and it's not about abs and it's not about a competition. It's about doing something that you never thought you could have and the feeling that you get from getting there. So like what you're describing is literally that coming alive and being like, what else can I do? Right? Mm-hmm. Like that's really life-changing.
It's very liberating.
Yes.
And I think that the hang-up with a lot of times people reach out like, you know, I really want to look like that, but I don't stage, or I really want to, you know, I really want to achieve that, but I just don't want to do the stage part. It's like the hang up there is always the same. It's what you just finished. It's I don't know if my abs will look that way or my glutes, and I don't want to be in a bikini. But you don't realize that the reason that all of those things happen for all of those people is because they go on that journey to do that thing.
Yes.
And unless you have that thing there, then the other stuff isn't going to come along with it. Uh-huh. Unless you put in time to learn how to walk in heels and pose, unless you put in time to look at what kind of outfits are going to look best on you and pour into yourself, unless you put in time to be meticulous and diligent with your food and your training over several weeks, and then do the thing, then you don't get the other outcome, right? Because then you'll end up, maybe you follow the diet, the workout, and you end up with the abs, but you don't feel how you guys
feel. The magic is in the combination of both, because plenty of people are in shape and are not feeling that way.
Exactly. So that leads me to my next question, which is, what does this version of V say to the person listening or watching that is on the fence and is saying, you know, I kind of want to do something like that, but I don't think that I can. Now that you've done it, what do you say to that person?
Trust you and you as in the person who is on the fence, because ultimately that's really what it boils down to. It's you not trusting yourself that you have the capability or consistency to do whatever the thing is that you want to do. So it was just trusting yourself and the process, right? And just knowing that it's going to get you to the other side of whatever it is that you're seeking. That's like the best way I would sum it up for anyone. And I can say that to people now, like whether they're family, friends, colleague, whatever. I'm like, it starts with you. Like when you start, when you even start these, you see 4-week challenges left and right, you know, New Year's coming up, they're going to have them, right? And if people get to they get to day 15. And it's like, oh, well, something happened. It's like, did something really happen, though? Or was it you not trusting yourself that you committed something and finishing it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's, 100%. I think, our biggest downfall as humans. We just don't trust ourselves enough.
Or
maybe even someone else that can help us, because that was even my downfall in the beginning. I wasn't as trusting as I thought I was. I was like, no, I am trusting them. I'm paying them. I'm doing my check-ins. But when I look back, it's like, but did you really, really trust them at that point in time? And the answer is no.
Right.
It wasn't nothing against you. It was me being like caught in my own shit. So that's the biggest thing, I think. It's trust.
Honestly, just to piggyback on that for anybody listening, coaching is a relationship like anything else, right? Just because we or any other coach has a long list of testimonials and people that they've helped, it doesn't always translate into a connection with everyone, right?
Yeah.
Not every coach is for everyone.
Yeah.
And building that relationship does take time, right?
It's a relationship like any other.
You have to know that the person on the other side has your best interests at heart and is connecting with you in a way that is going to help you get that outcome. And a lot of times it's not about the diet or the workout. It's like, you've got to connect with the coach, but that takes time, you know? And sometimes people don't see it through long enough to actually figure that part out. Because once you get to that place where you connect to the idea that, you know, the person that you're working with is trying to help you, then you're more receptive to, you know, do all the things. You know, I always joke, it's like everybody says they're willing to eat rocks until they have to eat rocks, right? And that comes with trust, and trust is earned, right? So you've got to put in enough time to make that happen.
Yeah. All right. V, what was the most impactful thing about this entire journey and experience for you?
The most impactful. Oh, geez. The most impactful thing. That's a hard one. I guess I would say the most impactful. No, yeah, I would say, honestly, our first in-person check-in. When I got to not only just check in with you guys, but then just have like a raw, real, candid conversation about, hey, this is what we're noticing. This is how it can get in the way of the coaching-coachee relationship. And it boiled down to what we keep talking about, trust. I think for me, that was impactful, because there were definitely times where I was like, oh my gosh, I don't think they like me. They probably think I'm stupid because I'm missing like a tablespoon here and there. Maybe this isn't for me. Oh my gosh, like, what am I even doing? Like, I started getting in my head and like having all the thoughts and all the things, and was not, I don't want to say on the brink of saying I'm not doing this, but very much could have gotten caught up in the, I'm gonna do check-ins like whenever I want. At least I know I'm doing it. I'll check in with them when I can. But I think when we had that conversation and you guys had to give me like, you know, like that real raw radical candor about inconsistencies. And also, what did you tell me, coach? You said, I know this is personal for you, but you have to work on just the execution. You were like, I get it. I know you were on a journey even before this, but like, you have to trust and you have to just execute. And I think once, I mean, you guys let me know, but I think once we had that conversation, there was a shift.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And me just being like more vocal and like giving like more detail about like what I have going on. So I would say that was impactful, because before that I felt very unsure. I'm like, cause it's virtual, you know what I'm saying? So right. It's like, how, right. Who are my coaches really like? And do they like me? Even though like that shouldn't be like the main thing you think about. And it's like, do they see my capability in me doing this? Do they believe that I'm going to make it to the stage? So I think having that like, you know, interaction face to face definitely made an impact on how I continued my whole entire process.
We always talk about how our team is a vibe, right? And it's, you know, Lais and I are very, very in tune with the way things feel, you know, and words are words, right? But the energy that's in a room when you're communicating with somebody, you know, you're either gonna take what we're saying as truth, and you can feel that we have the best interests at heart, and it feels that way, or it doesn't. You know, fake is fake, yeah. You know, and real is real. You know, and I think that a lot of times it is important that, again, for anybody listening, that when you're working with someone, that you have that level of connection where you can feel or sense that the person that you're working with is going to give it to you straight. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the way it is, but not in a way to bring you down, the right. Opposite. To like, listen, these are the things that are happening, and in order for us to get this thing that you say you want, we're going to have to turn this around. And you feel like you're right, like we do have to do this, and we are going to go on this journey together, you know, as a team.
Yeah.
And it's important that everybody feel that connection, because while a lot of the coaching that we do is remote, right? Because again, like you said, technology is great and it allows us to touch a lot more people. You know, connection is also real.
Yes.
And you have to feel connected to your process and to the people that are in it with you. So, you know, I'm glad that you took it that way, because it's really like our intention.
And I think like back to the relationship thing, when we were talking about how you talk to yourself, right? And it's like, it's great that if you love someone and you want the best for them, you've got to call them out on the bullshit, right? So we're the same. Like I said, we do it to each other and we do it to our team in the best of ways, not to bring someone down, but it's like, what is the service to you? It would be to just be like, yeah, that's good, keep doing that. Or, all right, well, she's not going to do it, so whatever. Or she's going to do it that way. So like, no, like that's lazy coaching, like lazy parenting, parents that don't stop and make sure that they put time and that they're aware and that they make the changes. So me too. I'm happy that you took it that way. I'm humbled that that was the most impactful, because a lot of times the answer is, you know, the moment I stepped on stage and those lights hit me, or the fact that my husband said X, Y, or Z thing, or, you know, there's people always have different things that like, that when they look back at their journey, they're like, that was so impactful. So thank you for that.
Oh, of course.
I think that, like I remember Carrie telling the story. It's not a Carrie story, but I remember her sharing with us. Okay. It's a story of like
Brian's story.
It's a Brian story.
BG, yeah.
So shout out to BG. It's a story about somebody being trapped in a hole, right? And the person on the top throwing them a rope, right, and to help them out. And our coaching style is not one of throwing somebody a rope. Our coaching style is getting in the hole with you. And like, we're going to figure our way out together, right? And a lot of times that doesn't connect with people, right? Because they just want the answer. And the answer to most of the questions is always going to depend on how we figure that out with you, because the way out is always going to be different for everyone,
yeah,
you know? And you've got to be receptive enough to allow it to happen. and not be shocked when we jump in the hole with you and be like, shit, you could have just thrown a rope.
Like, no, we don't do that. Oh, this was so awesome.
I know. I'm like, ooh, I like this.
Thank you for being on the show. Our last guest, any of you listening and watching, please make sure you like, share, comment. This is one of those episodes, and I know I say this all the time, you should definitely go back and listen to. Talk about a lot of different things. And hopefully you get something out of this episode that makes you want to go watch more of the episodes or listen to them, because everybody that's been on this journey has something different to share. And ideally, if one of these stories makes one person, you know, get out of their way and do the right thing and move forward on working on themselves, then it's worth all of them. So to everybody, we got one more episode this year. We are going to do a recap of the entire year, and we are excited for all the things that we are doing in 2023. I will put Bee's IG handle in the show notes so that you guys can follow her and cheer her on while she's working out, even if you're not. But to everybody, if we don't see you again, Happy New Year. But please stay tuned, because we got one more episode in 2023.
2022.
Damn it.
Every time.
I'm already there.
Thank you, V. We love you.
You're welcome. Love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.